book of Acts, chapter 13. You know, those that are listening to us, give us a call if you can at 856-261-9018 or email questions@vftbc.org. I'd like to hear from you. Say hello, have questions or comments in any way. But Acts chapter 13, we stopped at verse 21 last Thursday. Let's begin with verse 22, 23, and 24. Let's read together, beginning at verse 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath David, and hath God, according to his promise, raised up unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. And John at first preached before his coming, in baptism, repentance for all the people of Israel. Part verse 22. When he had removed him, who is the he referred to there? God himself removed him. Who's the him there?
Saul.
All right, when God removed Saul, what did he do there in verse 22 after he removed Saul as king?
David became the king.
He raised him up to be their king. Now, what testimony did God have of David in this verse 22?
Man after my own heart.
Man after my own heart. Now, does that mean that David was perfect?
Yes.
Was David perfect? Are any of us perfect? None of us are perfect. And he sinned with Bathsheba, adultery. He sinned in the murder of the husband of Bathsheba.
Uriah
the Hittite, the husband. And but he repented of that sin in Psalms 51. Psalm 51. Against thee, the only of us sinned. What does this mean, a man after God's own heart? What are some of the traits we see in David that show that he's a man after God's own heart?
He's like us.
Like us?
He sins. He's sinned quite often.
All right, sins, and like us, all right. What else?
And, he always comes back to God.
Comes back to God?
For
all right. Anything else, a man after God's own heart?
He was merciful with his enemies.
Merciful with his enemies. What enemies was he merciful with?
Saul.
That's like he didn't want to strike him, did he? That's the Lord's anointed. What else? Let's see, then it's merciful to. Who else? How about the son that went off Absalom? He cried. I was in our boat last Sunday morning. My son Absalom, would that I had died in my place. Absalom has to kill him, and yet, so he has a great sympathy. Also, there's another son, I think, of David, who was slain.
Amnon.
That's right. Amnon was there. Then,
but he didn't.
Adonijah was it?
David was not really. He wasn't capable of doing anything at that point.
Uh-huh.
He was just ruling from his bedside.
Right.
More or less at that point.
But Adonijah, is that the one that was going to be the king? Who was caught with his hair?
Absalom
was caught in there. Okay. And who killed him?
Joab.
Was David pleased? No.
No.
So all these different things, other people too, I can't remember.
His sons of Zariah, that was his sister.
Yes.
And so they were his nephews, and they were very strong against, like, the Abner and Amasa,
uh-huh.
captains that David had made
mm-hmm.
agreements with. He was at peace with, and then Joab. The one
had
killed his brother, and so I guess it was
avenging
blood or something.
And David was very sorrowful for that one, even though they were enemies of David. So in that sense, he's a man of God's own heart, forgiving even his enemies. It's amazing.
Saul's son,
Jonathan?
No, the one that was reigning after Saul died, his servants rose up and killed him,
mm-hmm.
and David, you know, was very upset about that as well.
That was Adonijah, wasn't it?
No, that was Ish-bosheth.
Oh, Ish-bosheth, that's right. He's very sorrowful about that. So at lots of times he was forgiving even of enemies. What did the Lord Jesus say in Matthew about enemies?
Love your enemies.
Love your enemies. Do good to them. Despite for you. Pray for them. Pardon me?
David killed a lot of them.
Well, that's true. But he also was compassionate on those that were his family and his friends and ones that he loved. So, as the Lord, to whom he gave to the Father David, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. What were some of the things that God wanted David to do?
You don't know.
Not number the people.
He wanted what?
Not.
He wanted not to remember the people, and he did, and so God had to pronounce judgment. Yes, Tammy?
Well, he wanted them to fight the Philistines. I mean,
yes.
There were different nations that came about. They seemed like they were all kind of from the people that were left over that they didn't conquer when Joshua came in.
Mm-hmm.
There's some of those different talked about in the book of Judges.
Mm-hmm.
They were still there, and seemed like David was fighting some of them, and it's kind of interesting about the Philistines.
Mm-hmm. Who was the first Philistine David dispatched?
Goliath.
Oh, you know,
the first one.
Well,
the first one we read about. The Bible talks about.
The first one in Scripture. But the Lord used him for that, and you come to me with the name of your sword, and so I come in the name of the God of the Israelites. And
he's just a boy then.
Just a lad, he certainly was. Follower of the sheep, a keeper of the sheep. Did his older brother, who was there with Saul at the Goliath thing, did he like his brother to come there? What did he say about his brother?
He just thought he was fine, just what was going on.
Yeah, and how did you refer to his sheep?
His few sheep.
You left him with a few sheep, just a little tiny sheep, and here you come.
Yeah.
It's fine. But David was using the Lord to fulfill all his will. Did David want to build a house for the Lord?
Yes.
Yes, he did. Did God let him?
Yeah.
Why did not God want him to?
Bloody
man. He slain many people. And so Solomon was used. But he prepared.
Terrible. He killed lots of
people. Oh, yes, yes. And that was, of course, he was fighting the battles of the Lord because these are enemies of Israel. And so questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. Yes, Tammy.
So it's because he fought those battles that Solomon had peace all around.
That's right. That's right. David won the battles, and Solomon was a peaceful man, peaceful king, and then he could build the temple and the tabernacle, which he did today in our Bible reading yesterday and today. And so, and then in verse number 23, of this man's seed, whose seed is that? Of this man's seed, David's seed, God, according to his promise, raised up in Israel. Who?
Savior.
Who is that? Lord Jesus. So, he's the son of David. That's the history of right down the line. Yes, Dan?
That chapter where the Lord was talking to him and telling him he was going to have a seed.
Mm-hmm.
The one was going to, I mean, he was implying that one of them was going to be Solomon because he was going to build him an earthly temple. But then the other one, he was sort of implying that was going to be Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
And the seed was going to come
through Nathan. That's right. So it was the Gospel of Luke that gives the seed of Mary and Matthew for Joseph, and of course he's through Mary, the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this man's seed promised in Israel a Savior. You see, here's Peter preaching the gospel to these people, and he brings up the Lord Jesus right here. Then in verse 24, talks about John. Which John is this?
The Baptist.
The Baptist, okay. And what did he do? In verse number 24.
Reach the baptism of repentance.
Baptism of repentance. What does repentance mean in the Greek language?
Change of mind.
Change of mind. Who did he preach to? Just a certain group, small group?
Israel.
Israel. So just a few of Israelites?
All
the people.
Whoever came.
Was it?
Whoever came here.
Whoever came. In other words, he didn't limit his message as to all the people. And he preached before his coming. Who's the his referred to in verse 24? The Lord Jesus. Before he talks about Jesus in verse 23. And before his coming. Baptism, in other words, change your mind concerning your sin. Change your mind and accept this Savior that's coming after me. And then the let's read verse number. Yes, huh?
The baptism that we have as believers now, that's not the baptism of repentance, is it?
No, no. What does the baptism mean of what we're baptized today?
It's the baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ.
Pardon me?
What's the difference between John's baptism?
No, Pastor Dan.
Believer's baptism.
Believers, just for safety. Born again Christians. And what's the difference? All right. John the Baptist was trying to get Israel to change their mind concerning their sin and accept the Savior that one day would come.
Why did they have to be baptized to do that?
Well, that was just a means of a symbol of accepting this person and humbling themselves, going to the water, getting all wet, I suppose, and changing their mind, and hopefully they would accept Christ when they can.
But they weren't saved by that.
Oh, no, baptism didn't save them at all. No, not at all.
Were there any baptisms in the Old Testament? I mean, I know I haven't seen any, but said something about Israel when she went to Israel and stuff.
Yeah, when we were in Masada,
yeah.
I remember this. There was it was just a flat, everything was flat. There was no top of Masada. The Masada was the mountain, and on top of that was this village or whatever it was. But it was just sort of a barren form. And they had and a guy said this was a baptismal pool. They baptized, not necessarily like us, but for some reason they baptized people.
I'm not sure of that. I know that they had the washings. In other words, baptism is washings and cleansing.
Yes.
But whether it was complete immersion or just dip the water and
there dipping. Enough, this would be enough for that person to have been immersed in.
Yeah.
I remember that real
the
well.
The 10 labors, I think there were.
In the temple, 10 labors, that's right.
Plus the moment. See, I mean, they were just to wash in the labors.
Yes, just to wash their hands and feet before they went.
That was just for the priest.
Just like the tabernacle just had one labor for the priest before it went in. Yes.
But the people never used
it. No, they didn't use that. But this baptism of repentance was to change their mind, repent of their sins, and change their mind and look to the Savior Jesus who is going to come. All right, let's read then verse 53, 54.
Wait a minute.
25, 26, and 27. And as Jesus fulfilled his chorus,
John,
he said, "Whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh that one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him." 5 verse 25. As John, the same John or different one?
Same
John the Baptist, fulfilled his course. What do you think his course was?
His life. I mean, it was the end of him.
All right, his life?
His ministry.
All right, his ministry, what he came to do. And they asked him a question. What question did they ask John?
Whom think ye I am?
Whom think ye that I am?
Referring to Jesus.
Pardon me?
He was the one.
John asked the question. Nobody else. Yes. John asked, "Who think ye that I am?" Okay. And what did he deny?
They might have thought he was Elijah.
Yeah.
Both the Messiah.
Yeah, well, Lord Jesus refers to John as what?
Elijah.
If they had received him, he would be Elijah. But did they receive John the Baptist?
What do you mean he would be John the Baptist?
Well, I know, but he would have fulfilled the ministry and the prophecy of Elijah who will come before the coming of the Lord, remember?
Yeah.
If you receive him. But did they receive John as the adversary of the Lord? No. They killed him, cut off his head. So,
received him. A lot of people did.
That's true, but not the rulers. Not the rulers. They slew him.
I'm not he.
Who's the he referred to?
The Lord
Jesus, the Messiah. But what did he say about the Messiah of the Lord Jesus in verse 25?
They come
after me. What was his status or what was his worth, the one coming after him?
Infinitely greater.
Much greater. Shoes not worthy to loose. What was that duty in those days? Loosing the shoe.
Wash the feet.
Wash the feet, probably. And John the Baptist, was he humble or was he a braggart and proud and arrogant?
I don't know.
From his statement.
He's humble.
I mean, from his statement, he's humble. He's not worried that they're going to lose the shoe. So
He could have said, I'm Elijah, but he said, I'm the voice of one crying in the
wilderness. That's right. But remember, the Lord said that if you received him.
He would have been wrong, too, if he was said he was Elijah.
That's exactly right. The Lord said if you received him, it could have been the prophecy fulfillment before the great day of the Lord. But did the Jews accept the Savior as their Messiah?
No.
If they'd accepted him, of course they didn't, they wouldn't, but if they accepted him, he could have brought in that millennial reign, that 1,000-year reign of Christ. But they rejected him, and God knew all about that, didn't he? Then in verse 26, He referred and spoke to which type of people here?
Men, brethren, children. He spoke to Jewish people.
Spy Abraham, Jewish people. And who else was he including in his sermon about Christ?
Anyone
who's here is God. Who's there among you is God. To you, the word of his salvation is sent. Does that indicate that there's just a small little group that salvation is sent for? Just a small elect group, like the hyper-Calvinists?
It's everyone that was there.
Everyone that was there? So what to you, this is the word of salvation. You among the true God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. What salvation is referring to here, do you think?
I don't know. The one that... It's referring to Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ, the one that the Savior of the world, and he's the only one that can save anyone. And then in verse 27, they that dwelt at Jerusalem and their rulers, who are those being?
The high priest.
Right? It's speaking now of what they did, Lord Jesus, doesn't it? Their rulers, because they knew him not. Who's the him there?
Jesus.
Lord Jesus. They knew him not. What does it say in John 1, 10, 11, and 12? He came to his own. His own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them who believe on his name. So they knew him not, and they did not care about him. They knew him not here. Nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath. What voices do the prophets say about the Lord Jesus Christ? Who are some of the prophets?
Isaiah
was a prophet. Did he say anything about the Lord Jesus?
Yeah.
His virgin birth in chapter 7, verse what?
Emmanuel.
7:14. A virgin shall conceive be with child. His name shall be called Emmanuel. God with us. What else about his death in Isaiah?
He was bruised
by our iniquities, chastised with peace, was upon him and with his stripes were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. So the prophets, they spoke of him, and
people there that John was talking to refused him. So by their very refusal, they were fulfilling prophecy.
Yes, they read every Sabbath day. What day of the week is that?
Saturday.
Saturday, seventh day, not the first day. They fulfilled them. Then it was to them, referred to
the
prophecies in condemning him. The Old Testament prophets spoke of his condemnation, his crucifixion, Isaiah 53, and the sin that he would bore in his own body at the cross of Calvary. They should look upon him with that piercing, so the piercing, all these different prophets, many different Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled in one day or one week. I don't remember all the number, but 25, 30, 35 specific prophecies just in that week were fulfilled. Got that in my books up somewhere upstairs, but I don't know exactly the details, but they fulfilled the condemning him. How did they condemn him? What does that mean? How did they condemn the Lord Jesus Christ?
By two false witnesses.
Pardon me? By two false witnesses, all right. And, yes, Bob?
What did you say you had in the books upstairs?
I had all the number of prophecies specifically fulfilled in one day or one week of crucifixion.
The last week?
35, is it?
Was it the last week of his life?
Maybe the last week is, in other words, at the time of the last week or so.
Where do you have that?
It's up in my files. Prophecy is fulfilled. Probably in that. I don't know whether the computer people have locked that up or not. You know what I mean? It could be before the lockout. See, at a certain time way in the history, they couldn't lock that thing up. But now they've locked out things that have WPD, was perfect, or PDF documents currently. But if it's old enough, I still got it built.
Some years ago, there was like a little booklet that you had downstairs, and I've got a copy of it at home.
Oh, yeah.
And it talks about 333
Old Testament prophecies
about Christ and his life.
That's it, the whole life. That's it.
Yeah. 333 prophecies.
Bring that next week, and we'll make mention of it. Make a note of that, Bill.
Yeah, I wondered if I got it with me.
You may have it with you and all of your belongings. Who knows? All right.
Yeah,
I do. Let's read 28, 29, and 30 together. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. All right, verse 28, found no cause of death. What does that mean? They found no cause of death.
He did nothing.
He was blameless, nothing amiss. And as Dan said earlier, they had two false witnesses. So they tried to get a whole bunch of witnesses, but they didn't agree. Finally, they agreed. And what did those two witnesses say?
That he would destroy the temple and raise up in 3 days.
Raise up in 3 days. Well, who was he? What was he speaking of in the temple?
His
body. This temple. And God will raise it up in 3 days. The resurrection was predicted. So they found a cause, even though they had false witnesses of death. But what did they desire about Pilate?
They wanted to have Pilate kill him.
Why did they want Pilate to kill him? Who was Pilate?
He was the governor.
A governor. And he was a governor of what group of people?
The Romans.
What was the method of death for the Jews?
Stoning.
What was the method of death for the Romans?
Crucifixion.
So, fulfilling again the prophecy, that they look upon him who they have pierced, and so on. The prophecy was fulfilled, and so they begged Pilate that he should be slain. Was Pilate originally in favor of slaying him? Was Mrs. Pilate in favor of slaying him? What did Mrs. Pilate say of it?
It had nothing to do with this righteous man.
Nothing to do with this trust and righteous man. See, and had many things in the dream because of him. In other words, and Pilate at one point washed his hands, didn't he? But, well, I guess to please the people, he finally said, all right, go ahead. They cried out, didn't they? Now, the people themselves, a week before that, what was their attitude toward the Lord Jesus Christ? A week before that, roughly.
They had a parade with waving palms and putting their clothes down. Like it.
All right. A triumphal entry. And they're praising the Lord, wonderful, he that comes in the name of the Lord, all these different things. Hosanna in the highest. Didn't take very long, 7 more days, to change their mind. Who changed the people's minds, basically?
Priests.
There was a priest and the rulers and the Pharisees. And they, when they, when Pilate was trying to be fair, said, I've got a special rule. Now, this is out of the new version, by the way. The Gnostic critical Greek text leaves this out. There's a rule that at a feast, I can release one of the prisoners. And who should I release? Barabbas or Christ? He probably thought for sure they released Barabbas. What was his charge?
Jesus Christ.
What was that?
He thought they released Christ.
No, excuse me, released Christ, that's right. And what was Barabbas' sin?
Or sins?
The murderer?
He was an insurrectionist
and a murderer. And so, but when the Pilate asked the question, whom shall I release? Shall I release Barabbas? No, what should I do then with Jesus who's called the Christ? What did the Jews prompt the people to say?
Crucify.
Let him be crucified. So Pilate, they used to be slain. 26, 28. Let's read verse 29, 30, and 31 together. And when they fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. I guess we read that, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. So 29, when they fulfilled all that was written of him, who's the him referred to?
Jesus.
Lord Jesus. What does it mean, all that was written of him?
The Old Testament.
All these prophecies.
They didn't know they were fulfilling
prophecy. No, they didn't know, but they did. How did God know that these things would be fulfilled exactly and precisely?
He sees everything.
He sees everything. He knows there's omniscience. And if there's nothing else that would force people to believe the Bible is accurate and true, just take these. If there's 333, Bill said, predicted off of the whole life of the Lord Jesus Christ, fulfilled in that one life. What more could you show? How could any of us predict 333 things to come to be 10 years from now, 50, 100 years, 1,000 years from now, or even 50? See, we just can't do it. It's a tremendous, wonderful proof. All that was fulfilled of him, they waited. What are some of the things that were fulfilled when the Lord Jesus was brought before them? What were some of the things? What were some of the things that were fulfilled? All that was fulfilled that were written of him.
No bones in his body were broken.
No bones were broken.
He was crucified.
He was crucified. He was nailed between two thieves. He was crucified. Between two thieves, remember, made the bed of the righteous. All these different things were fulfilled. And the prophecy was given to them, and they condemned him. And notice in verse 29, after it was fulfilled, what did they do after he was on the tree? What tree is this?
The cross.
The cross. It doesn't say they were crucified in this verse 29, but took him down from the tree, that is, he was crucified, and they took him down after the crucifixion. Did he die on that Saturday night before 6 p.m.? Before the Sunday? Wednesday, I'm sorry. Did he die before the day ended?
Yes.
What was the truth of the law about those that are hanging on a tree?
Cursed.
Is there a curse? And should they stay up there before this? Before the now? What kind of Sabbath was this? Under special feast of Passover, special Sabbath. And so they wanted to be sure that they took them down. And so one of the leaders said, "We got to be sure they're dead." So they went to this one and this one and this one, to the two of them at least. How did they manage to kill them? Make sure they were dead. Now, what? They broke their knees, broke their legs, their bones.
They couldn't stand up.
They couldn't stand up, and they just had to hang. And that just apparently killed them. When they came to the Lord Jesus, did they break his bones?
Yeah.
Why not? Already dead. How could he die without having his bones broken?
He could die.
He gave up the ghost.
Voluntary. My life I give, and no man taketh it from me. I lay it down on myself. I have commanded the Father, and I have commanded to take it up again. See, that's one of the things that the new versions have against the Lord Jesus Christ, because it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it talks about something they remove. You see what it is. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11, at the communion service section, chapter 11. Oh yes, this verse 24. This is my body, which is broken for you. The Gnostic critic takes the faith out broken, which is for you. See, but they say, well, he wasn't broken. Well, he was broken as far as his nails, and he was crucified and harmed. But the Gnostics take that out. That's one of the things that Ken Brown, Dr. Brown's father, that is pastor now up at this church in New Jersey, Dr. Brown's father, Ken Brown,
you're saying that wrong.
What am I saying? Dr. Brown is the father of the pastor of the South North. That's what I said. Yeah. So they take it out because the Gnostic critical retext takes out is broken, because they thought that you can't say it was broken for you because no bones are broken. Does this mean his bones are broken?
Yeah.
What does broken mean?
He's
crushed and his sides, they hurt him. So anyway, the Lord was crucified and spat upon and whipped and various things. So we can leave that in broken for you. And that's why the Lord's Supper is broken for you, to break the bread and so on. So, talking about the tree, that says in verse number 39, or 29 rather, laid in the sepulcher. What is a sepulcher?
It's a tomb.
Whose tomb was it?
Joseph of Arimathea.
A borrowed tomb.
Fulfilled the prophecy too, that's right. He took it to him another. And it was never been slated. Nobody had been used before. It was pristine. Nobody had ever had it. Why do you suppose Joseph let Pilate put him in that tomb?
He asked about it.
That's right. And why do you suppose, what was the heart of Joseph?
He was a believer
in the Lord Jesus Christ, and asked him to put him in that tomb. Of course, we know that they, the governors made sure that their tomb was guarded, very strongly guarded. And
Nicodemus has something to do with that, too.
Nicodemus, yes. Nicodemus was there. He went to the tomb or something. Two of them were together somewhere. Now, I don't remember exactly the relationship. Pastor Dan, you remember?
Nicodemus. In helping to prepare the body. He wrapped the body.
Yep. He was probably in part of the wrapping.
He helped him with that, I believe.
Yes, I think you're right. There was both of them were there. And took him down and laid him in the sepulcher. And then in verse 30, why is this word but is that? Why do you think that word but is there?
Adversative conjunction,
all right? And that's an adversative meaning it's an acceptance, an opposite. They did this, they killed him, they put him on a tree, and lived. What happened in verse 30?
God raised him
from the dead.
So he wasn't there anymore?
Not here, he's not here, he's risen. Questions at bmcbc.org, 856-361-9018. Got something, Pastor Dan?
The pastor saying warm greetings to you and all the PFT church family. Thank you very much for tonight's Bible study. God bless and love, Carl and Vicki Albert.
That's with Carl and Vicki Albert in the state of Maine. We have in the state of Maine. Thank you, Carl and Vicki.
Encouraging
for that. We appreciate your comments.
Is the end of the study now?
Pardon me?
Is the end of it?
Well, you know where the home is. You're our home. All right. The word of salvation is worship. He raised him from the... What kind of resurrection was it?
Bodily
resurrection. And we certainly want to stand very clearly on that. God raised him. Later it says in the scripture, he raised himself. No man take it from me. I'm going to take it again. And the Holy Spirit of God raised him. So the whole Trinity was a part of this. Father, Son, Holy Spirit raised him to death. Now let's read verse 31, 32, and 33. Then we're closed after that. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you the glad tidings, how that the promise which is made unto the fathers is also written in the second. God has told the same of his children, in that he has raised up Jesus again, as is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. All right, we stopped at verse number 30. I guess I read too many verses.
Okay.
But do you have any other comments or questions before we close tonight? Mm-hmm. Well, let's close then for the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee that John was faithful as baptizer. He wanted the people to repent and change their hearts so that they could accept the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. We're sorry that the Pharisees urged the people to crucify him and put him on the cross, train two thieves, instead of releasing him and release Barabbas the murderer instead. But we thank thee that our Savior was willing to die for sins and able to die for the sins of the world, that we might, by faith in him, receive everlasting life. Thank thee for this great power and great privilege. We ask thee, Lord, for mercies as we go home, as we go back, and help us, Lord, especially on this Lord's Day, as Dr. and Mrs. Boyce come to minister to us. Help us, and may our Savior be glorified in the services. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, thank you for coming.